Hello, family. I'm going to be leading us into a time of prayer this morning before the sermon. Pastor Zach and I have been reading a book together this summer, if you can call it that. It's like a tome. It's about that big. Because I had some questions about the Reformation, and one of my professors said, hey, let's read this summer, which was a little bit of a flex. He handed us that book, and Pastor Zach agreed to read it with me. And it's a hefty book, and it's dry, but it's given me a reminder. It's called...
In 6, 1 through 4, children... Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God designed us to grow. And he designed us to grow primarily by following and imitating people who love us. That's the way that we're made to grow up, more than any other way. It's to watch the people who love us, to follow them, and to imitate them. Right? This is how you learned a lot of necessary things that you take for granted now, walking and talking and eating. Right? You watched your parents or whoever was raising you and copied them. This is hardwired into us. If you've got your bulletin, the cover verse comes from the beginning of the last chapter in Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Grow up by watching God and following him, this person who loves you. And that's supposed to begin at the beginning of life and continue throughout all of life. And that's what Paul is assuming in these words to children and parents. So children, follow Jesus by following your parents. Parents, lead your children by following Jesus. That's what Paul's getting at here. First, Paul addresses children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children includes, but is not limited to, minors. This idea that we start life as children and then we stop being children once we've been around for 18 or 21 years, or once we're done with school or buy our own house, that's not a biblical idea. We remain children. The Apostle John, who as a young man walked with Jesus, he wrote to probably this congregation in Ephesus as an old man, and he addressed the whole church from age 1 to age 90. He called them little children. So children means you. I mean, it certainly means you, Caleb and Lucy and Hattie and Tess, but it equally means you, Rachel and Tim and Garrett and Mindy and Bob and Indi. And our call is to obey our parents in the Lord. Elijah already sort of beautifully walked us through. Parents doesn't just mean biological mothers and fathers. And Paul, he invents this word obey. He takes the word for listen and he adds from below on the front. We're made to spend our lives listening from below, right? Which is different from most of the listening I did as a kid, right? I listened from opposition, my poor teachers. Right? When I was listening for something to disagree with and try and prove them wrong. Right? That's not listening from below. Listening from below is the assumption that what I'm going to hear is more important than what I'm going to say. That I always have much more growing to do than I have done growing. And we're meant to spend our lives from below, listening and growing. That is a lifelong thing. It's not something you do until you finish school and can start speaking from above. Which, just by way of encouragement to the oldest children in the room, it's by design that you still have a long way to go. Don't lose heart because after 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years, you still have a lot of learning to do. God intended it that way. He meant you to be his child forever, to keep listening from below. And I love this. When addressing children, those who are willing to listen from below, Paul does not give a warning, but a promise. He doesn't say, listen from below or else. He says, listen from below, and the lowliness will pay off. Lowering yourself, submitting, yielding, is the way to life. Not necessarily ease and comfort, right? This is living with the grain of Jesus, who did not experience an easy or comfortable existence. But he did experience life of a depth and glory that we can only imagine. And here again, God is promising you, when you lower yourself, he will take care of raising you up. We, all of us, are God's beloved children, meant to spend our lives in listening from below. This is Paul's essential word to children. Then he turns around and he speaks to parents. He uses the word in verse 4, fathers, and it is like it's the specifically gendered word for fathers. He's not in this making a point about gender. He's making a point about where this comes from. Right? If you've got your Bible open to Ephesians, you can flip back a page or two to chapter 3, verse 14, where Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, that means God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And that every family in Greek is all fatherhood. Right? He's saying this all starts with the fatherhood of God. That's where it flows from, and that's what it's formed by. Right? So when he addresses in chapter 6, verse 4, he speaks to fathers. That absolutely includes me with regard to my children. Right? But he's speaking to anyone who's in that position Elijah was describing, of a spiritual father or mother. Right? If you're in a relationship where you have the balance of experience, where you have relational authority, this is for you. And Paul says, lead by following Jesus. This is your calling. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A couple words about this. I think if we were printing a modern Western version of Ephesians, we would just have the first half of this verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Just don't use your authority in a way that ever leads to anyone being mad. Keep the peace, right? Like the trend culturally in families is away from disciplining children. The trend in churches and other communities is a kind of live and let live, who am I to say anything? Right? But Paul's not, he's contrasting, do not provoke your children to anger with everything that he says after that. Don't do it this way, but do it that way. Right? And so not provoking your children to anger is the opposite of bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I'm going to focus for a few minutes on that second half of the verse, what it is to exercise loving spiritual authority, to bring up children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bring them up, the word actually means nourish. Provide them with what they need over and over and over again. And there's a wisdom to this, right? Ellis does not need, at 2 months, the same nourishment that Malachi needs at 12 years, right? If we swapped their nourishment, that would be really bad for both of them, right? So there's a personal attentiveness here that's ongoing, right? You can't put a year's worth of nourishment in front of a child, right? They'll get sick, and then the food will go bad, and they'll starve later. This has to be ongoing. Jesus said to his disciples right before he was crucified, I still have a lot of things to teach you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not yet ready for all the nourishment that I have to give to you. And so I'm sending you my Spirit who will keep feeding you as you're ready. We have a responsibility to nourish, to provide for those whom God calls us to be spiritual fathers and mothers to. We have a responsibility to discipline them. This word is strong. This is the same word that Pilate uses when he says, I'm going to discipline Jesus, and sends him out to be whipped. Right? There is a rebuke, a correction, a what you are doing is out of line, fix it, force to this word discipline, right? And this applies not just to toddlers throwing tantrums, but to adults who are doing the sophisticated adult version of a toddler throwing a tantrum. Right? We're meant to correct one another. Right? This doesn't necessarily fit well with us or go with our culture, but it is our call in Jesus. Last academic year, right at the start of 2023, we were, the elders of the church were dealing with another ministry staff person who was not doing what they needed to be doing. And it had been going on long enough, and it had gotten frustrating enough for us as elders that we were kind of coming apart. And Pastor Mark, who served as pastor here for 25 years and is now faithfully serving in retirement, did something he'd never done before in the 9 years since he retired and I came to serve in his role. He came to me and said, like Jethro to Moses or Paul to Peter, what you are doing is not good. Do not give in to the anxious pressure to have a solution to this. Take all the time that is needed in prayer to seek God's will instead of the average of the will of the elders, right? And that proved to be a turning point, right? That I don't think would have happened had he not disciplined me, right? I needed that, and the community needed that. And this is our call. Thank you for exercising that. And thank you that it's not like a weekly thing, right? He's not watching me from above, right? Which gives him, like, he can come to me and I know that he loves me and wants to see me do well, right? This is a part of being parents, of being spiritual mothers and fathers. And of course, it is to be the discipline and instruction. And instruction means verbal explanation of the Lord. Which means we are self-consciously trying to pass on the inheritance of Jesus more than our own inheritance. We want our children, biological or spiritual children, to be more like Jesus than us. That's the purpose here. Right? I don't discipline my children. I shouldn't. I do, but I shouldn't discipline my children when their will contradicts mine. I should discipline my children when their will contradicts Jesus. That's what we're called into. Right? This is not mothers and fathers imposing their will. This is mothers and fathers pointing their children to Jesus. That's our calling here. We get to do that as children. We get to do that as God's beloved children. This is what we return to when we fail to do it, even when we have been unloving fathers and mothers. We are still loved children. And this is what helps us discern the difference between imposing what we want on our kids and pointing our kids to Jesus, is to remember again and again and again, to remind one another again and again and again, that we are God's beloved children because God's one and only true Son gave himself up for us. You know this? Just by being human, you are God's good creation, his craftsmanship, like mugs and bowls of the greatest potter in the universe. But only in and because of Jesus are we God's beloved children. Right? I can't do pottery. I can sort of do woodworking. If you want to know the details of that word, sort of, you talk to Brian later. I made a desk this spring for Claire. And at least by my standards, it's pretty good. I know. Which is to say, it's thoroughly mediocre. But I put a lot of effort into it, right? It's my craftsmanship. That's you just by being human to God. But in Jesus, you're Claire. And as much effort as I put into that desk, I would rather have Claire than a million of them. That's what God offers you in Jesus. To be the daughter, not the desk. That's what grounds us. That's the kind of children that we are. And clinging to that is what makes it possible for us to be the kind of spiritual mothers and fathers that our Father in heaven is calling all of us to be. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for nourishing us and providing for us. Thank you for disciplining and correcting us. Thank you for teaching and instructing us. And above all, thank you for the Lord, for your Son, Jesus, who took our place as sinners that we might take his place as your beloved children. Make the glorious knowledge of that we are your beloved ones, make that our foundation. Help us to grow by imitating you and trusting in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry I wasn't quiet. The nourishment that God provides for us is vastly deeper and more wonderful and mysterious than this meal.